I don't know about you all, but I think I need another holiday. Here we are, 11 days from New Year's, with a good 7 to go before Martin Luther King Day. Just feeling a little bit overworked. But no worries. The calendar holiday every day has provided us with a holiday for today. Ditch Day, which according to fitness tracking company Strava, is the day on which most folks likely quit their New Year's resolution. I won't ask for a show of hands. Friends of mine who work on long-term life change would say of those who fall prey to Ditch Day, that what was missing for most of us in our New Year's resolution was a commitment to change just one thing, the most important thing, everything. And so I think today, since we've got a nice, robust crowd, we'll talk about how to change everything, or at least parts of everything, namely our identity, our ethics, and our aspirations. We can get that done in 12 minutes, right? It's also appropriate today because, in all seriousness, today is the feast day of the baptism of our Lord. And according to the way that the gospel, according to St. Matthew, figures things, this is the day on which Jesus' life changed, on which everything changed. And we have some texts that we can work through. Acts of the Apostles holds that this was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And the three other gospel writers agree that something very important in the life of Jesus happened when he went to be baptized by John. So let's see if Jesus follows the pattern that we've set out. Did Jesus change his identity today? Maybe, but let's go with yes. In the biggest non-surprise in the history of the gospel world, when Jesus comes out from the waters of baptism, the heavens open up and is proclaimed, "This is my son." And none of the Christian people who ever read that was surprised. But in terms of Matthew's overall gospel layout, this could have been a very important change in the identity of Jesus. Matthew labors hard through the first several chapters, through the first chapter at least of his gospel text, to link Jesus up with the kingly line of David, to show how he is visited by angels and other kingly sorts, to make sure that we get it, that Jesus is heir to this throne. And when he comes up out of the water after having been baptized by John, he is proclaimed by God himself as something more than king, as the very Son of the Almighty God. On the day of his baptism, Jesus changed his identity. Did Jesus change his ethics on the day of his baptism? I think so. This is the part that most confuses John the Baptist, who asked Jesus, "Why am I baptizing you and you not baptizing me?" But as Marion Hatchett, commentator on the contemporary prayer books, points out, what John had already done was with baptism was to change it significantly. John did not, as his name might suggest, invent baptism, but borrowed it and brought it forward from its context within Second Temple Judaism as a way to either enter the company of God's people or re-enter the company of God's people, to wash off the impurities and the stains of the outside world. and to be welcomed clean and refreshed into the household of God's chosen people. John was doing that, yes. But in order to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus suggests, there was this other thing for John. It says that John was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was beginning the process that Jesus would later perfect in the Sermon on the Mount of bringing that religious expectation to the inside, to make it about intentions and choices as much as it was about concrete actions. Jesus says, you have heard it say, you should not kill. I say, don't even have cross thoughts against your brothers and sisters. So in this respect, Jesus was not simply saying sorry to God, if he had anything at all to be sorry for. He was redefining motivation and the internal status of the soul as central to the way of living a life of faith. Did Jesus change his aspirations? This is really about the next story in Matthew's gospel, but it might be a familiar one to you all. When Jesus had been baptized, he was immediately driven out into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. Through a time of fasting and temptation, I believe really deeply consider this mission that God had sent him on. This mission that would lead ultimately to his death, but also to resurrection, the setting of the world to rights in a massive cosmic way. In Jesus' baptism, he changed his identity. He changed his ethics. And he changed his aspirations. On this feast of Jesus' baptism, we also are well privileged to celebrate the baptisms of 8 new Christians today. And it is baked into our baptismal liturgy that these young and older folks will change their identities today. There is an ancient and perhaps apocryphal tradition that says when the priest says, name this child, the appropriate response is Christian. Thus, all baptized Christians are named Christian, which would be really confusing. But it's not always the case that the name given to the child at baptism is a match to what they know already. When I was baptized at 11 years old, that was the first day I figured out my name was Art, and not the nickname that my parents called me up until that point. The pastor said, name this child. They said, Art. And I wondered who they were talking about. But whether there is a literal change of names, we as the congregation of God's family will say specifically into the lives of these new Christians, we receive you into the household of God on this your baptism day. No matter who you were before, you are now one of us, the Christians, those who share in the mission and the ministry of this church. Though this is a little clearer in the lives of adults being brought to the baptismal font, we see in the baptism liturgy a change in ethics. This is the answer to those of traditions who ask we Episcopalians, do you all believe in baptism after conversion? Answer, yes. It's right there in the prayer book. 6 questions. 3 denials of Satan and the spiritual powers of evil that corrupt the children of God. 3 affirmations of binding oneself to Jesus and his ministry in this world. We are most certainly converted. We see our motivations, our ethics changing. or pray to see same in the lives of these young people. And I would hold that on our baptism, we change our aspirations, our outlook on life, our desire for what we want ourselves and the world around us to be. This is perhaps the most beautiful part of the new baptismal covenant included in the recent 1980s prayer book. The five questions that come after the Apostles' Creed: will you continue in the Apostles' teaching and fellowship, the breaking of the bread and the prayers? Will you seek and serve all persons? Will you proclaim the good news of God in Jesus Christ? These are all statements of desire. And we respond, I will, with God's help. Because after our baptism, this is the world that we want to live in. And this is the world that we want to bring about. And so what about the rest of us, for whom today is perhaps a ditch day, but is not our baptism day? Can we also take part in this tremendous life change that is the baptism of Jesus and the baptism of our eight brothers and sisters? Certainly. We can change our identity. And here I don't mean to get into the conversations about identity politics. I simply mean to lean on an old Christian saw. Today you can choose to worry less about who you are and more about whose you are. Christians. And can we change our ethics today? Our decision-making processes by which we decide what we do and what we do not do? Sure. And if you're anything like me, it'll happen several times today. The life of the faithful is a life of constant conversion, of seeing where we have failed, and, as it says also in that same baptismal covenant, repent and return to the Lord, of bravely doing the examination to find out wherein we have fallen short, and praying for God's consistent help in doing the right things, the things that are in line with God's plans. And can we change our aspirations today? I sure hope so. For the life of faith is nothing without a consistent and encouraging vision of what this life can be. Not only for ourselves and for our children, but also for everyone else in the world, for the poor and the suffering, for the weak and the outcast, for those in positions of power and those in positions of trust. We can today decide to adopt God's point of view on our world, a vision of hope, vision of love. And we can make those our ends, beginning, as it were, on the day of our baptism, or perhaps today and every day, until our lives are so fully changed that we begin to see more clearly the kingdom of God all around us. Amen.